This is the Thanks for Sharing podcast, the podcast where we explore all things recovery, healing, and relationship.
Remember to subscribe and download episodes in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or the Podbean app. You can find more Thanks for Sharing at www.thanksforsharingpodcast.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/healingpaths. That's paths with an S. Hello and welcome to the Thanks for Sharing podcast. I didn't realize that today's episode 20, and this feels like a landmark for some reason. So we're excited. We were talking last night about where we want to go with the next few episodes, and so today and in our next episode, we're going to talk about boundaries, which is going to set us up for the next series we're going to do, which is a 5-part series on what the 5 things functional adults can do.
Right.
So let's dive in and get to boundaries.
Okay. So when I think of boundaries, I really think boundaries is what either makes everything click, or if we can't have boundaries, nothing that we talk about in therapy is really going to translate.
Yeah.
I think boundaries is one of the key pieces that brings everything that we're working on in therapy together.
I've been surprised in the years that I've been working as a therapist how fundamental boundaries are. Like, I think that's just something that my education didn't really touch on directly.
Right.
And so when you're talking about bringing everything together, I think one of the things that boundaries does for us is it contains and it protects.
Yes.
And so when you talk about it bringing everything together that we're doing in recovery and therapy, I think that's a metaphor for what boundaries do to us. It really pulls things together. It really keeps things contained. It keeps us organized. We don't thrive well in chaos.
Right. Well, because I think in order to really thrive, in order to really evolve ourselves as people, we like so much hinges on being safe.
Mm-hmm.
And boundaries is what gives us that feeling of safety and that confidence with safety. Mm-hmm. I think it comes back to boundaries. Like, I can protect myself. I can contain myself. I can protect others from myself, right? So that I'm not a jerk like we talked about in our last episode.
Yeah.
The takeaway was it's okay to be a jerk as long as I know I'm a jerk,
and
right?
And you can talk about it.
Right. So, I can also protect others from me, and I can contain others from me.
Yeah.
Like, all of that has to do with boundaries.
Which is the fundamental mechanism in how we differentiate from the world around us. What's me and what's not me.
Yep.
I think boundaries is the action piece of how we figure that out and how we live in alignment with that.
Uh-huh.
So when I think boundaries, I think the most basic way to understand it is your skin. Your skin is a fundamental boundary that you're born with. It keeps in what needs to stay in. It keeps out what needs to stay out. And it's also permeable. That can change.
Yep.
There's times that it can let more in. There's times that it can really constrict and prevent more from getting out, depending on what the need is.
Mm-hmm.
And my skin, I definitely know that everything beyond my skin is not me.
Right.
The things within are all me, and I'm responsible for everything there. The things without, it's a little more of a gray area, whether I'm responsible for it or not.
Well, and really, when we start to look at, I think, you know, a fundamental that comes with boundaries is also that ability to say no,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, usually is one of the first words that a young child starts to utter. I remember with my oldest, I was shocked because the first sentence, like the first string of words that she put together in a sentence was, "I don't want to." And I was like, what?
What are you in for?
But we're able to do that really young. Now, we may get messages that say it's not okay to do that, mm-hmm. right? You don't, your no doesn't count,
mm-hmm.
or you don't get to say no. And sometimes, you know, I mean, having had a 2-year-old, you know, sometimes they're just saying no when, you know, the reality is they mean yes, but they're just saying no to practice it. But we're capable of beginning with boundaries at fairly young ages. But depending on how our environment responds, that may not go well.
Yeah.
Or we may get the message that you don't get to have boundaries.
Yeah. So as we talk about what boundaries are, we want to conceptualize this as there's boundaries that happen internally,
uh-huh.
and there's boundaries that happen externally.
Right. So let's start with external boundaries.
Okay. So when I think external boundaries, I think about knowing my limits with other people. like, you know, we talk about the personal bubble.
Mm-hmm.
I think the personal bubble idea is a form of boundaries, like what space around me is comfortable to have people in and mm-hmm. what kinds of people. Like,
right.
there are some people in my life, I'm okay with them being right up against mm-hmm. me in my space. There are other people where I don't want you any closer than arm's length. And a lot of times what that has to do with, I just don't know you very well.
Right. So the external boundary really has to do with space. And I would add touch.
Yeah.
Like whether or not people get to touch me, whether or not I get to touch other people, and how close they are to me or how close I am to another person. That really sums up a lot of the external boundaries.
And I think it's important with the external boundaries. The focus is on the external boundaries you have. The focus is on what's my comfort and what's my safety level.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the places where external boundaries can get confusing is our culture is really good at confusing messages about touch and about space. Like you look at the predominant rape culture that we live uh-huh. in. And if you're going to go by that culture, you know, somebody might make a sexual advance or a sexual suggestion or a comment, and you may say, like, this is supposed to be okay because this is what the culture says is yeah. okay, but internally you're saying this doesn't feel good to
me. Or they were joking. They kind of were laughing, so
yeah,
that was okay.
Yeah, so when you're looking at external boundaries, it's important not to get hung up on what feels like it's acceptable or what should or shouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. You really have to focus on how does it make me feel.
Yeah.
That's your best guide for where your boundary needs to be.
Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, I was speaking on boundaries at a Engaged in the Struggle event that was put on by the Worth Recovery podcast. If you haven't listened to Worth Recovery podcast, check them out as well.
Definitely.
But I was speaking on boundaries, and one of the exercises that I did on external boundaries, right? Because the other thing is a lot of times we're unaware of what our body is feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so then boundaries become really tricky.
Yeah.
Or we second guess, like, oh, I felt this, but maybe I shouldn't have.
We make it a mental game.
Yeah. And so one of the things, you know, because we actually are feeling, we just may choose not to feel something in our body, or people can say, like, I don't feel anything in my body. Well, that's not true, but you're just not aware of it. And so I wanted to do this with everybody who was attending, but for time limits, we didn't have time. So I just got two people. And usually if I'm doing it in a group, I'll get two people who don't know each other. These two happen to kind of know each other, which is fine. It still works. And I'll get them kind of on opposite ends of the room, and I'll ask them to start walking towards each other. Or no, I just have one walk towards the other.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to maintain eye contact and walk towards that person until you feel a boundary, right? Until it says, this is where I stop. And sometimes, you know, we are like, we may start to break eye contact
mm-hmm.
or they start to break eye contact. And that's generally kind of the boundary that we are feeling that says, stop here. You mm-hmm. know, the other person doesn't have to hold up their hand and say, stop. But their body is saying, you're close enough. You know, now generally it's anywhere from like 18 inches to 2 feet
mm-hmm.
is what most people feel comfortable with. And especially if we're like head on, you know, if somebody's behind us, it's a wider space.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you can start to practice that, and you will feel like this is about where I'm comfortable. Now, the other person may have said, oh, they could take a step closer or not.
Mm-hmm.
But we're generally, you know, 18 inches to 2 feet is about that distance. Now, if we're really good friends, or, you know, if it's our partner or something, obviously they can get closer to us
yeah.
because we know them and we've already kind of done some vetting process with them.
Yeah. And I think even with that proximity with people that are closer to you, there's some types of proximity that are going to feel better than others.
Right.
Like I think of my 4-year-old, that kid, I think he thinks I'm a punching bag. And you were talking to me earlier this week about your husband and a niece and a nephew that he really winds
yeah,
up.
Yes.
I was trying to think with him, like, yeah, I do some winding up, but I don't know that I've ever been like, put up your dukes, we're going to slug each other. So, like, yesterday morning, a lot of that was spent by him running by me and hitting any part he could reach. And then in the afternoon, after lunch, right before I came into work, he said, will you watch a TV show with me? And at first I was thinking, like, I don't know, because if we watch the right show, you're going to get riled up and I'm going to get an elbow to my face, or you're going to break my glasses or something. And I said, sure. And he sat like right in this, like he sat right beside me and just curled up, and it was really sweet. And I loved that kind of closeness. So I think that's something that's really important to pay attention to, again, with the external boundaries, is proximity alone, I don't think, tells the whole story of the feeling.
Right.
Or makes sense. We really have to look at, what does that proximity mean? Like, somebody in my face staring me down and shouting me down, that's way too close.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's somebody that I'm really close to.
Right. Well, and again, you know, at this point, we can take a step back. You know, if somebody gets close into my space, I can just take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I've created more distance that I'm comfortable with. Now, they may take a step forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, sometimes, and we can talk about this some more, I'll talk with clients. You know, one of the things that I talk to clients about is, with boundaries, it's three things. I can do no, which taking a step back is kind of me doing no. I can, mm-hmm. well, let me start. The order that I generally go through is, I can feel no, I can say no, and I can do no.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we can do all three of those. Sometimes we do one, but not the others, right? Like, we'll get into this maybe in our next episode about feeling no.
Yeah.
And sometimes I do all three. But with boundaries, it can happen on any of those levels. So, you know, if somebody moves into my space and I simply back up a little bit, then I'm doing no. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, I'm feeling no, and then I do no. But I may not say to them, like, hey, that's a little too close for me.
Yeah. And we protect like that so that we can contain. Like, what happens if your body is saying no and you are not protecting? Like, how uncontained are you going to eventually get? Whether it's with that person that you become unglued, or it comes out sideways somewhere else.
And it may be, you know, that my body is giving information. Like, if somebody that I know but am not comfortable with is too close to me, I'm going to be giving the vibe, right? And they may be picking that up, and they may not know what that is about. They may be thinking, wow, she hates me. Well, no, I don't hate you, but you're a little too close to my comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And so by me kind of being in the space that I am comfortable with, I'm containing my emotional energy and not giving you energy that you're like, what is that about? Does she not like me? Does she think I have bad breath? You know, what is that about?
So I think this is a really good place to transition into some of the internal boundaries, because that emotional interplay, I think, is what, what are you feeling? Why are you mm-hmm. sending me that energy? I think a lot of that is why boundaries are important, because without them, I think we give information that we don't intend to, and we give feeling that may not actually match what we're wanting to give.
Well, and before we kind of transition into internal boundaries, I think there's one more with external boundaries that does, you know, it's the sexual boundary,
mm-hmm.
right? Which has an external boundary, right? That says I get to say who gets close to me
mm-hmm.
and whether or not they touch me. That has to do with some sexuality.
And in what ways they get close and touch me.
And so it is that, like, I have a right to determine if I have sex with somebody, what kind of sex, where we have sex,
mm-hmm.
how often we have sex. Like, I have a say in that. And that's mm-hmm. part of the external boundary too, because that also has to do with space and touch. But then there's also sexual boundaries that are internally.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to hit on that before we transition into some of the internal boundaries, to really, you know, highlight that there's space and touch that also has to do with sexuality. And that's different than just normal people that I'm interacting with in public.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any more that you wanted to say about that sexual piece?
I would say, I think the only thing that I would add is, you've always used the analogy of the living room relationships versus mm-hmm. the bedroom relationships.
Yeah.
I think what we're talking about in basic boundaries really feeds into what we can do with sexual boundaries. If we haven't practiced it in the living room, it's not going to show up and help us in the bedroom.
Right.
And so I think just that basic ability to say no, or that basic ability to say yes,
uh-huh.
and what kind of yes I'm saying, I think that's a really important part of practicing healthy boundaries that will show up sexually,
mm-hmm.
That really either enhances or hinders whatever sexual experience you're going to have.
So kind of using that house analogy, just for those listening, it's one of those, like, if you think about, you know, different people in your life, just take a minute and think about different people in your life who you have a different type of relationship with. You know, so one may be a really good friend. One may be a neighbor that you kind of know but don't really know. One may be, you know, I don't know, a door-to-door salesman, right, mm-hmm. that comes to your house. It, you know, it, when I open the door, if it's the door-to-door salesman, they don't really get past my front porch.
That's where the conversation's yeah. going to stay.
Like, I have a boundary that says, here's where I'm comfortable with you being. Because mm-hmm. my house is personal to me. It's mm-hmm. intimate to me. And so I don't know that I'm going to invite you in. Now, if, you know, if it's a really good friend, you know, they can come into my house. You know, I'll talk about, you know, maybe if you have like more of a formal living room, there are certain people that, you know, they're invited in and we may chat there in the entryway or kind of in that formal living room. But I think, you know, in the kitchen, the kitchen can be kind of the heart of the house. Mm-hmm. People are a lot more relaxed in the kitchen. There's a lot of interaction and connection that goes on. The family room, you know, at my house, in our family room, our shoes are off. Mm-hmm. You know, I may not be like formally sitting on a piece of furniture. I may be laying down. There's different kinds of more personal conversation that's happening there. And then you have the bedroom, mm-hmm. right, where there's a lot of personal, really intimate things that are happening there. And just kind of gauging with ourselves, the people in our life, and what room we are comfortable with them in. Mm-hmm. Based on the relationship that we have with them or what we know about mm-hmm. them and the relationship that we have.
I think that's really what that concept is, where we can really start to match the feelings with the setting.
Right.
The feeling I'm having here, like if I'm feeling bedroom intimacy on the doorstep with the door-to-door salesman, there's a mismatch there.
Uh-huh.
And it's really important to ask, like, why am I feeling that? What's yeah. going on for me?
I remember years ago we had a door-to-door salesman going through the neighborhood and, you know, I guess I've never done door-to-door sales, but I guess it makes sense that, you know, if you're in somebody's house, the likelihood of making a sale goes up,
yeah.
unless you're in Jackie Pack's house, and then the likelihood of getting the police called on you goes up. And so it was, you know, it was summer, my kids were outside playing, and he came to the door, and I opened it thinking maybe it was my kid, and the next thing I know, like, he's in my living room.
Hmm.
And it was interesting because I didn't even realize it, but the next thing I knew, I was on the front porch.
Hmm.
And I was much more comfortable there because I'm like, I don't want to be alone with you in my house.
Yeah.
And so he was in my house and I was on my front porch. And I, all of a sudden I was like, wait a minute, this is weird. But then I thought, actually, this is where I'm comfortable with. Like, if you're going to be in my house, I want to be out here.
You've got to have options.
There are neighbors and yeah. I can go places.
Yeah.
So...
You know, and I look at that and I think one of the things that can keep us from setting the boundaries that we need to and maintaining them, I hear this, I think without fail from most of my clients when we start working on boundaries, they'll say, I feel like a jerk for setting a boundary. Like, I feel like a jerk. Someone just came into my home and I've stepped out.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
or somebody came to my home and I didn't invite them in.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really like Brené Brown's concept on that of why we have boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about how the most compassionate people that she knows, because we often think like boundaries means we don't have compassion.
Mm-hmm.
The research actually bears out the more compassionate the person, the better the boundaries probably are.
Mm-hmm.
And her theory on that, or what the research shows her on that, is that boundaries preserve our compassion so that we can spend it where we want to. And to me, that kind of speaks to those internal boundaries, like who am I going to give what
mm-hmm.
and what emotions go where? Because if I'm not mindful of that and I'm not preserving that, mm-hmm. I may get home with the people that I'm close to and maybe care the most about, but I have nothing left to give.
Right.
So I think those internal boundaries really start to deal with how does it feel to say yes and no to people, and why do I say yes right. and no to people?
Well, and that also brings in, along with preserving compassion, it makes it much more authentic. You
yeah.
know, if I'm told that I need to be nice to everybody, then that's not really authentic with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But if I have an option, you know, not that I get to be rude, maybe being rude isn't an option, but setting a boundary is an option, and setting a boundary doesn't equal being rude, mm-hmm. even though it might feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
But... now when I really give a compliment, it is really genuine. It's really authentic.
Yeah. I think of those people that you would conceptualize as a flirt.
Uh-huh.
And there's a guy, I've taken photography classes from him before, and he has done some family pictures. And my wife will say, like, he is such a flirt, and he's always very complimentary of her.
Mm.
And she'll say, like, yeah, it feels good in the moment, but it's not like I put a lot of weight in that, because I think he does that to everybody.
To everybody, yeah.
And so I think that's really part of where those internal boundaries really start to increase the quality of our life.
Yeah.
Because not only are we feeling like I'm spending here because it means a lot to spend to me, but people feel that.
Yeah.
The people that we're in relationship with start to feel that, and they start to respond differently to that as well. I think another part of those internal boundaries is being able to recognize the difference between here's the thought and the impulse I'm having, and here's the action that I need to take on that.
Right.
So we're going to pause this discussion here, and we'll pick this up next week. We want you to remember that your story matters, and remember there's something meaningful in every chapter. Don't wait to share your story until it's finished.
You can share your story with us on our Facebook page, which is Healing Paths, Inc., or on our website, www.thanksforsharingpodcast.com.
And now on our new website, you can leave comments on episodes, so we would love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is solely for the purpose of information and entertainment and does not constitute therapy, nor should it replace competent professional help.
At the end of another episode, we want to remind you that nobody has time for perfection. We are pursuing progress.
And remember the prayer of the perfectionist. Help me remember I can't do it all. Help me to take things one step at a time, and that the only step I need to focus on is the next right step for me.
Help me to remember that life is a journey. Help me to be able to separate all that I am learning from all that I have to do. Help me to remember that I am not alone, that I can ask for help. Help me to strive for frequent awakenings, not mastery. I am enough. Amen.